Regular listeners to RNIB Connect Radio will be aware that each week we chat with Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB, and it's time for our first weekly chat of 2021. Do we still say Happy New Year? Is there a deadline? I'm not sure.
But, it's almost February, isn't it? And then we're past Burns Night as well, Alan. So I think we've probably got beyond that. It's almost Happy Easter.
It is indeed. Well, we've got quite a few things to get through today, actually. I'm going to start off with a look at RNIB services again, because we are back in different areas of lockdown. That's going to progress through February and looking like March as well. I think it'd be good just to remind people about, you know, the help and support that's there from RNIB.
Thanks, Alan. And clearly we did a lot of work last year to support people during lockdown. And yeah, seeing that that's the context, we've done a lot to reaffirm some very strong services and support that we had in place last year, as well as very consciously worked to try and put in place some new things this year, which play to some of the challenges which are really biting at the moment, particularly around things like home learning, homeschooling, access to technology, access to food. You know, still a challenge for people on there. And we're doing a lot around loneliness and dialing out. We've dialed out to more than 80,000 people. We carry on doing that work. I think the thing I'm particularly proud of is the work our children, young people, families team have done to facilitate and help the additional changes to sort of home learning. And there's a whole ton of really strong material on home learning support for parents and families, which includes things like online weekly advice sessions for parents, top home learning tips on technology, some shape and share events for parents and children, and a whole variety of resources both for parents and professionals to help. And I think that's an example of sort of new material that we put in place, particularly with the challenges that people have got homeschooling at the moment, in addition to all the good stuff we did last year. So coming to your question about the partnership with the other charities in the sector, there's a group that's been set up, which is a lot of the sort of bigger charities in our sector, ourselves, Guide Dogs, Thomas Pocklington Trust, Blind Vets, as well as the Visionary organisation, and then some of the sort of more medium-sized charities, glaucoma, retina. So there's about eight of us in this group. We've had three meetings. The latest one was just last week, and we're working together on issues which we know to be very pertinent and relevant in the sector. So, you know, linking back to all our conversation about lockdown, you know, we've been working on our coronavirus response to make sure that there's a commonality of approach. We're sharing information. Our FAQs are updated. We're working together on sort of trying to sort of provide technology. So there's some real tangible signs of that group working well to address the sort of, you know, short-term real-time challenges of lockdown, as well as looking at some slightly more medium-term issues around things like employment. As I say, the whole being greater than some of the parts and being able to respond well to lockdown at the moment.
Before we finish, Matt, let's take a look at another topic. Now, RNIB is most certainly not alone in looking at its properties and its estate, and I'm sure even many corporate and businesses and so on are looking at this, possibly through more people working from home and the ability to do that. But RNIB has made a quite important decision around its Judd Street headquarters.
Yeah, so Judd Street was our big office in London. Just to make the point, you know, we're not actually a London-centric organisation, actually. You know, we have more people distributed around the country, big office in Peterborough, presence in all the devolved nations capitals. We have a big production facility in Gateshead in the northeast of England. We've got a, you know, resource down in Ivory Bridge in Devon, and we've had people working in different offices around the organisation. However, we do need a strong base in London. It's important for linking to other people in the sectors we've just been talking about who are based in London, and also clearly access to UK government from a sort of campaigning perspective. It's important to have a strong base in London. So, yeah, Judd Street has been our office for about 20 years. We moved there from Great Portland Street in around 2000, 2001. It's a big office. It's 57,000 square feet. And frankly, it's too big for us and has been for some time. We occupy about a floor and a half. There's two floors that are empty and have been for a long time. And sort of working practices pre-COVID, actually, with many people working a day or two at home, you know, meant that on some days we were having 60, 70 people in the office and clearly not filling it at all. So, you know, it's a prudent decision to see that we could sort of move to a facility that was much more suitable for the sort of certain number of people who were coming into a London office, and also, frankly, build a really high quality office. And that's what we're planning to do. So this is not any sort of cutting and running or trying to downsize or reduce the quality. This is a very clear opportunity for us to realize a reasonable sum on Judd Street and then invest some of that in having a very, very high quality office in London, which we plan to do. And we've got 2 years to move, so a bit of time to work it out. but something that we want to be an exemplary office of blind and partially sighted people, really well sighted for transport links and general accessibility, and a place that not only our staff, but our volunteers and other beneficiaries of the charity can come and use for, you know, a variety of purposes. You know, we're really looking at what working rhythms will be going forwards. Clearly post COVID, most people will want a sort of blended, sort of working rhythm of some time in the office and some time at home. And as I say, there are other reasons why we'd want some space, which could be around creativity, could be to host meetings, it could be to innovate. And all those things, you know, we can do with a new office. So this is not a response to COVID at all. We took a paper to the board a year ago, actually, about this. And it's just taken a year for the sort of thing to work through and for us to sell it. But I'm delighted. And I think it really sort of gives us a whole ton of opportunity going forward as a charity to have a great office space and have a bit of money left over for us to underpin the financial sort of well-being of the organisation in the medium term.
Will staff and customers be able to sort of feedback on things perhaps they would like to see in a new building?
No, absolutely. I mean, this has to be driven by the insight of blind and partially sighted people. So we've had a working group up and running in the organisation sort of pre-Christmas, because we've been looking at sort of working practices post-COVID, you know, wherever our office was going to be. We run a number of surveys. We've got a group set up which takes insight from a wide variety of people in the organisation, and, you know, and clearly a strong input from our blind and partially sighted staff. And as we go forward, you know, we'll advance on sort of two fronts really here. We've got the sort of property side of things, because clearly we need to go into the market and find a building. But equally, you know, the exciting bit is what goes in it, and that will be informed very much by our staff and by blind and partially sighted people. And we will take soundings from, you know, other partners and other people, the other stakeholders in this, to make sure that we can find something and make sure that what's in it is exactly what people want 2 years down the line. And going back to your previous question on the sector, opportunities to see whether there are any synergies in sort of finding some space with other partners. Moorfields are moving to St Pancras. You know, we've been working closely with Guide Dogs and TPT. We've given some space to Guide Dogs historically in London. So, you know, I could well see a solution down the line which had us working sympathetically with other relevant partners in delivering an office which works across the sector, as opposed to just being something for the RNIB. So, you know, lots of opportunities, Alan, and it's very exciting to have 2 years to work on this. And, you know, we'll move by January 2023.
Exciting times ahead. We'll keep everyone up to date on that, of course. And if you'd like any more information on RNIB's services, especially around children, young people and families, all the support that's out there during the pandemic restrictions, please do have a look at the website rnib.org.uk, or call the helpline on 0303 123 9999. Matt, great to speak to you as always. We'll catch up again very soon, and thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Alan, for having me. I've enjoyed it. Thank you.